This is a replay of the Thursday night, August 3rd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together, and I'd love to hear from you. 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. And as I was looking over several things to talk about, I came across this and thought, be afraid, be very afraid. There's a little-known, life-threatening food allergy among us. Now, as far as where this came from, first, I got to say, you know, most industries will have their own trade journals, and some companies will have their own inside papers and things like that that'll circulate for morale and all that. Well, the CDC has one as well. I don't know about morale. It's called Morbidity and Morality Weekly. Oh, that's just fascinating, don't you think? Well, this week brings us this little-known life-threatening food allergy. Now, what's interesting is it's triggered by a tick bite. That's right. Tick is not just for Lyme anymore. Ticks could be affecting hundreds of thousands in the United States, and the report says doctors don't know about it. The condition is called alpha-gal syndrome, AGS, also known as the red meat allergy or the tick bite meat allergy. It begins with a bite from the Lone Star tick. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, well, I'm not in Texas, who cares? Well, that's not where the Lone Star tick is. Anyway, the Lone Star tick is primarily found throughout the eastern, southeastern, and south central United States. So, you know, at least a third of the country. The tick's saliva contains a sugar molecule called the alpha-gal, which is injected into the body with the bite. And what this triggers is allergies to certain type of red meat, primarily pork, beef, rabbit, lamb, or venison, or products made from mammals. Now, that would include cheese and milk and other dairy products and gelatin. And whenever you eat any of the foods, you can experience serious allergic reactions, anaphylactic anyone, within a few hours. Well, apparently the CDC has been aware of alpha-gal since 2008, but I guess they decided it was not necessary to spread the word, well, until now. And I love the way they say they've only been aware of the syndrome since 2008. It seems like that's plenty of time to get the word out. Well, there's been an annual increase in the numbers of suspected alpha-gal cases between 2010 and 2022 that now they feel that maybe they should tell you something. And between 2017 and 2021, just a four-year period, out of 300,000 tests done, 30% were positive for AGS. Now, the good news here, as I can say, is nobody died, but they came close to it. Over 110,000 suspected cases, but the actual number, they say, it might be about 500,000 people. That's because a lot of people don't get tested, and most physicians haven't even heard of it. So, based on the survey of about 1,500 physicians and medical professionals, more than half of them had never even heard a word about this. Another third of them said, well, they've heard it, but they don't know anything about it. So the bottom line is, more likely than not, whoever is treating you for whatever is wrong is not considering this. And so now the CDC says it's important that that doctors are aware of this, especially with the quote-unquote more severe reactions. And apparently the first documented case was a guy who had a steak dinner and then went to sleep, and at 2 a.m. woke up with an anaphylactic reaction, which led to an emergency room visit. And so that's on the severe side. On the mild side, probably those aren't even reported. But some of the other symptoms include itchy or scaly skin, swelling of the lips, face, tongue, and throat, wheezing or shortness of breath, stomach pain, diarrhea, upset stomach, vomiting, and more, according to the Mayo Clinic. And what's interesting is the same person can have different reactions at different times. In other words, one day a person could eat a hamburger, have an anaphylactic reaction, sending them to the ER. The next day they might eat a hamburger and not have any symptoms. Oh, great. Yeah, don't you love those intermittent problems? And so one doctor at UNC in North Carolina says he hears of a lot of patients having middle-of-the-night syndrome, but mostly it's hives and itching and abdominal pain. And, of course, there's usually a red, itchy spot where the tick bite occurred. And one telltale sign is it can take weeks to heal. But nonetheless, it requires antibody testing and a clinical exam to nail it down. So how many people have had it, for how long, and what, we don't know. So apparently, they say the average road to diagnosis is 7 years. Right. And to get diagnosed, you have to have access to an allergist. So that's some of the problem. It, by the way, when you have it, you'll have it for a lifetime. But other doctors say, well, maybe if you improve the offending foods in your diet, well, it sounds like they'd all be offending based on this. There's no treatment, there's no cure, though physicians can help manage their symptoms. I don't know how. And so that's right. Well, of course, if it's an anaphylactic reaction with an EpiPen, but, you know, you're hoping you don't go there. So they're saying they have no known fatalities yet, but they expect 500,000 cases. So there's the latest threat to your health that you've flat out never heard of. And as far as what tick series, well, there have been clusters outside the Lone Star's tick primary areas, including Minnesota and Wisconsin. Yeah. And they suggest there may be another tick species involved, or perhaps there are pockets of Lone Star tick populations that have not yet been documented. Who knows? So basically, they say if you're going out, use a lot of DEET. Oh, great. That'll be good for you. Oil of lemon. And who knows? And whenever going into an area where tick bites are a possibility, wear long sleeve shirts, long pants, socks, and load yourself up with chemicals. So there you go. Yeah, that's right. If the tick doesn't get you, the chemicals will. And apparently the cases occur more in the warmer months. Well, obviously, because more people are outside. When you're talking Minnesota, very few people are at the lake in February. And the allergy doesn't resolve completely for many of the patients. So if you're having all these symptoms and you're saying, what the heck is that? Now you've got another potential cause. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And Dennis, who has the best job in the world, is calling from Switzerland. So Dennis, what are you doing over there?
Good morning, Raleigh.
Yes.
Well, good morning here.
That's absolutely right. Good morning there. Yes, how are you?
Well, I was doing fine, and at this hour of the morning, you tell me another thing to be afraid of as life goes on.
It's unbelievable. Well, I don't know there's any been spotted in Switzerland yet.
No. I happen to be in Sion, and for the last several days, I was in Montreux on the shore of Lac Leman, enjoying that really nice. But apologies to John if it makes him feel bad, but I also spent 2 days on Lake Como. Sailing around, popping into little cafes on the shoreline and having a bite to eat. It's been very nice. And spent some time in Milan looking around, and today going to a place I've never been, Beja, Portugal.
Oh.
I'll be there about five or six days.
Well, that's neat.
So we'll see.
So
speaking of traveling around, pardon?
I should say you're flying people around who obviously pay for the privilege of doing this, now without disclosing who they are or anything. What kind of job do you have that you're going from places like Montreux to God knows where?
Well, that's just killing time. We actually landed in Sion, and we didn't want to stay in Sion. We've spent a lot of time here. So we got on a train, and it's a 40-minute ride at 100 miles an hour and takes us to this nice hotel that we've familiar with.
Wow.
The Suisse, what is it? The the Suisse something or other. It's right on the shore of the lake overlooking the water. And lots of nice restaurants and shops around to kill time. So, no, I'm taking these people around, and they're doing serious business. And in the off time, when we're not flying, I'm finding things of interest to do with the crew. That lake, Lake Leman, has a fleet of about 7 very old but beautiful paddle wheel steamers that run an active schedule, frequent and active and fast schedule between many of the cities around the lake.
Wow.
And these boats are built in about 1904 to about 1920, and they have these 1,000 horsepower steam engines on them that are really fun to watch. And I was amazed how smooth they are. You've been on ferry boats and, all kinds of surface transport, and you hear the roar of the engine and the vibration of the propellers. None of that is there in a paddle wheel steamer. It just glides along the water silently.
Wow.
And 2 restaurants on board and great scenery, and the weather was great, so we enjoyed it.
Now, Portugal is not exactly a hop, skip, and jump. This is a heck of a trip. I wouldn't normally think of a side journey to Portugal. What caused that?
Well, there is something going on that my boss, the owner, needs to go to.
Oh, okay.
This is a fast airplane. I mean, my last long trip was we flew Denver to London a week or so ago. Spent a night in London before we went on to Milan. So this airplane can go about 7,000 mile range. So it can go pretty much anywhere you want to go.
Well, it's still not close.
Still quickly. No, it's not. I don't know how far it is, but it's really quite easy.
Yeah, no, I'd say it's probably 1,000 miles if it's one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
But it's, speaking of that, it's probably about 2 months ago, I was on the way on an overnight flight from Denver to, we were going to somewhere in, oh, we were going to a major ski event in Sweden. And I was flying over the Upper Peninsula, and it was when your show was on, and I thought, well, I'll tune on the ADF on the airplane and listen to Raleigh for a while. There's not much going on. Late at night, your show was on. And I tuned it up, and you were talking about lots of interesting things. Propagation, the layers of the atmosphere, the troposphere, the tropopause, the stratosphere.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, here I am floating along in the stratosphere. I'll call in and give a man-on-the-street report. And you guys were talking temperatures and just lots of interesting gearhead stuff. But I looked at the clock, and it was 15 minutes, I think, until the end of your show. And I thought, well, bad time to call. So I missed that one. But
well, thanks for listening. I'm honored to be along for the ride.
Okay. Well, you frequently are. The speaking of propagation, and you were talking a lot about it then, it was when I was 15 years old, radio, when shortwave was in its glory days, and these stations around the world had big budgets. Radio Nederland sent me a very thorough propagation correspondence course.
Really?
So I learned a lot about propagation before I could do algebra.
Oh, wow.
But it was very nice. No, they'd send you this big package. You'd study it, answer the question, send it back to them. They'd send you another one. It was a very thorough course.
Wow.
But you don't get that kind of stuff anymore from...
That's a shame from R&W. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Radio Netherlands Worldwide. I know there are... the U.S. government actually has things on that as well, and some of them are online. But that's neat. When you finished the course, did you get a certificate?
You know, I probably did. I don't remember. That was a long time ago. But I knew a lot about propagation, and I was already listening. I'd been listening to radio since I was like 7, so... That was very useful.
Well, neat.
You were talking about things medical, and I've recently been acquainted with a very bad case that's very troubling, and it's a dear friend of mine who I've known for a long time, in the Phoenix area, Tempe, who had a severe lung reaction to all the smoke that was in the area, because some years ago his lungs got badly infected with staph, and ever since then it weakened him to certain pollutants.
Sure.
And a few times he's had an episode, and he recently had one that put him in the hospital, and he almost died. He was in complete organ failure. One of the symptoms was he could not sleep, days on end without sleep, and he's talking 4 days.
Whoa.
Now, I know. That's what I thought. No, that can't be right. He must have slept. But his wife, Teresa, said, no, I've been sleeping right. I've been right next to him every night, and he has not slept. I have never seen him sleep. So while that drives some people crazy, you remember disc jockeys.
Of course, the wake-a-thons, of course. Yeah, by the third day, it was really great to listen to, of course.
They'd go insane, and I think one of them committed suicide or something.
Really?
But,
I missed that.
Yeah, it breeds insanity, but it also causes organ failure. And my friend, Andy, knew this and told the doctors, I need to sleep. I need to sleep. Can I give you a little bit of an opiate or something just to make me sleep? In the meantime, they're pumping him with about 13 different drugs, and the doctors say, no, we can't prescribe opiates, but look at my chart. You know, this is what made me sleep when I had this before, just a little bit.
Right.
Well, we can't prescribe them anymore.
No.
And so it got so bad. I mean, his urine was the color of wine, and he was, he and his wife got up and left the hospital. She went down and commandeered a wheelchair, and fighting everybody, you know, unhook him from this stuff or I'm going to.
Right.
We're going home.
Right.
And he did. And he got home. He got off. He stopped taking 13 of the 14 drugs. It was some number like that. And they started to recover. And he got better and better. And he went to another doctor to have lab tests done. His liver was up to 70%, where it was completely shut down before. They were getting ready to send him to hospice to end of life. So
was part of the reason he wasn't sleeping because of the drugs they had him on?
I don't think so, because the lack of sleep started before he went into the hospital.
Well,
and
I know, but
what
prolonged it, you know, and with that in mind, what caused him to make a turnaround at home?
By taking off all the drugs, number one.
Right.
And from a psychological standpoint, he started doing familiar fun things and talking to his friends. He actually called me to say, Dennis, this is it. You know, I'm checked out. I've enjoyed my friendship with you, and he named several other people. And it was the end of life. We were all prepared for him to go. And he took charge and went home. And this is worrisome because, you know, it makes a case for boutique medicine, but he begged the doctors, I know what fixes this.
Right.
Just a little bit. He takes one of those opiates,
whichever.
Something. Yeah. He cuts it in quarters, and then he takes a little bit, and if it works, he's asleep.
Hang on a minute. This is a serious subject, and he's not alone. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Well, it ain't the measles, and it ain't the flu. Just a little old virus, type of Y-O-U. I'm coming down. Down with love. Well, all I did was kiss you. Kiss you once or twice. Ooh, my lips are like fire, and my hands are like ice. I'm coming down. Down, down. Coming down with love. Angels are flying. I'm sinking fast. If this is dying, who wants to last? Now don't you call on no doctor, don't you call on no nurse. I don't want to get better, I just want to get worse. I'm coming down, 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 coming down with love.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Yeah, Mel Gadsden coming down with love. Well, if you're coming down with everything, you might want to skip the hospital. You may want to skip the doctor, too, depending on who the doctor is. I'll tell you what, we're talking to Dennis in Switzerland. Got a friend of his from the Phoenix area who had a problem, could not sleep, was in the hospital. They were ready to send him to hospice, and he's like, all I need is an opiate, and I will sleep. No, we can't give you that. The war on drugs. Sorry, drugs won. All right, so, Dennis, this is horrifying, not only for your friend, but for every one of us, and we've been seeing this increasingly. We saw a lot of this during the entire COVID pandemic of families that were refused admittance to visit loved ones and loved ones who were refused to choose the care they wanted. That was the absolute worst. And what you're talking about now is not an isolated instance. I know of many people in dire trouble who are surviving because of opiates who suddenly their doctors just cut them off because they don't want to be on the list. And I don't blame them as far as that goes, but there shouldn't be a list.
The one size fits all, you know, this stuff is coming across the border by the barrel. And we're not doing anything about that, but we're shutting it down from doctors. What they should have done is sent the doctors that abused this to jail. But that's not what they're doing. They just turned it off. And any doctor that prescribes this, I'm told right now, at least in that area, gets put on a list.
No, everywhere.
Reviewed.
Everywhere. That's exactly right.
And another troubling thing, the system is getting overstressed. First of all, the doctor comes in, we've got a man that's in a near-death situation, and he's allotted like 45 and a half seconds to talk to this patient, and then he's on to the next room. And what really sent Andy over the edge in terms of getting out of there, he's in there in his precious minute or two with the doctor, and he's got really good vision. And the doctor's already reading the chart of the next patient instead of paying attention to him. So that was it. And the body doesn't know what to do with 14 prescriptions when they're putting me. It's a medical impossibility to know how any given body reacts. He knows his body better than they do. He got out and left and got a lot better.
Yeah.
He's still struggling. He did find a doctor. He went back a couple times, and one doctor said he found a GP who would listen to him, but Andy told him what needed to be done. And he said, well, that's not recommended. Well, that's not recommended. Well, I'll try to get you some opiates, you know, and I don't know what drug it was, but it's one of that category. And, you know, I'm ready to dig through my drawers for any old stuff from a dental surgery or something and send it to him because he knows what he needs.
Well,
but he's one of these people.
What's horrifying about this is the idea that that's not what recommended, that you have no right to choose your own treatment, whatever that might be. And that's the heart of this matter. And we've seen it for a while. This, you know, publicly goes back big time to when Hillary Clinton was doing her Hillary healthcare thing, where she was talking about outcome-based medicine, that it was all about outcome-based. Well, of course, that's back to one size fits all. And the idea of not recommended, well, hell, we know so many cases who've been reported where they're saying, I defied the hospital, I got the treatment I wanted, and I'm alive because of, in the COVID thing. And there are many people who are not living to tell it, who did not get a choice. But how in hell that's not recommended? Who cares if it's recommended?
Yeah, look at the chart. That's what he told them several times. Look at my chart.
Well, the guy wasn't going to prescribe it, and I understand that, like you say, there is a list, and so that's a bigger issue than the individual doctor. But and I don't blame any one of them for saying I'm not getting in harm's way. But this leaves a lot of people in dire pain or worse.
Yeah, well, one case very close to me, my sister Sharon's husband was told. He was a dying man. There's nothing they could do for him, and sent him home to die. Sharon would not take that for an answer, and they went to work. And he's a strong and healthy man today, 16 years later.
Yeah, I think this highlights something that is really important, and that is for quite a while, people just assumed that doctors were gods of sorts and that they, in fact, called all the shots. And the reality is that you have a responsibility, just like you have a responsibility to pay your bills and keep your life in order and stay out of jail and all those things. You have a responsibility to know something about health care and make informed choices. And, you know, sometimes it's doing a little more reading and research than you'd otherwise want to do, but it behooves everyone to be aware of all the possibilities and not just take it as, well, that's what they said to do, so that's what I do.
Well, I think there's a tendency to overprescribe. I don't know what the financial and business relationships are with some of these doctors and hospitals on how they get remunerated for what they prescribe, but I've gone into a doctor's office. I had a fractured foot once, and they were wanting to pump me with all. Well, you must be on a statin. You need to be on a statin. Well, no, I don't need to be. Well, what do you take for BP? I don't take anything. Well, you should look at, you know, without even knowing.
Right. No. Yeah. Telling me I should absolutely. This do is this what. Stuff. Allopathic medicine has very much gone down this route, and you're so right. I have a friend right now who has been having a lot of problems, and I said, well, send me a list of your pharmaceuticals. Let me see if I see any conflicts here. And it was 26 drugs. And I looked at this, and you know, I could easily, without even bothering to research, tick off five or six that were contributing to the symptoms she was saying she had. But what I realized as I was looking at the list was fully a third, maybe more, were prescribed to counter the side effect of other drugs that have been prescribed.
Other drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, in terms of insurance, of course, the way it is with most situations is that, you know, you've got 5 minutes to spend with the patient, and that's it. So you quickly look at this and you throw a drug at it. And at the same time, they're saying that the patient is not qualified to, in fact, determine what's in their best interest. They allow pharmaceutical ads on radio and television and newspapers. And, of course, I don't think there's a person alive who doesn't cackle at the list of the side effects they put in those ads. Yeah. And they're truly funny, and or they would be if you didn't realize that there were people dying. But, you know, I don't understand how, on the one hand, it's not recommended and we're going to make the decisions, but on the other hand, oh yeah, read all about it, bring all this listed drug into your doctor to say, hey, why don't I try this? You know, it's so convoluted. And individuals who, for instance, have decided on a surgery that might be risky that's covered because, say, chiropractic care wasn't covered, things of this nature. The idea that whatever it is, it's got to be covered by my insurance or I won't do it. That can be very problematic. And believe me, I understand what it's like to have to pay out of pocket, especially if you're uninsured when the cost shifting is insane. You know, if it was Medicare, they'd reimburse a dollar and the provider would have to take it. But you have no insurance. You're so far down the line. It's $700 for you. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. It makes a case for boutique medicine if you can afford it.
Well, absolutely, but that's the answer. If you can afford it, I have no quibble with that. I think if you have the money to get the right concierge doctor, by all means, do it. But you know, all of the things, whether it's you know, some of the government programs or whether it's private insurance, they were all designed for quote unquote equity or equality. But the reality today is we're so much further from it because very few people have the kind of deluxe bucks for the right kind of concierge care.
Yeah.
You know, because it is, I mean, it varies. It might be only $2,500 a year, but in some cases it's $15,000 a year. And how many people can afford to spend that?
So, yeah, and then where do you go? You know,
well, right.
What do you choose?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And at the very least, you know, have a really solid advance directive so that you're outlining what they cannot do to you if you're admitted to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's horrifying to me, just horrifying. And I don't know where the answer lies, but I know that so many people rolled over and played dead literally on the COVID pandemic. I think that they realize that scare people enough and they'll do whatever you tell them to do.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. Well, Andy is one of these few people that we all have in life who you know would, you know, jump up and do anything for you and vice versa. So it was very troubling to see, you know, him have to go through this.
Of course.
And he's a man of means. He's a very accomplished and brilliant man. He distinguished himself very, very much so in the recording industry. He's one of the top five recording engineers in the world. Humble and nice. You know, you're giving a list of, the obituary list keeps going every week or every few days. We lose somebody else. I think I'm beginning to think there can't be anybody left to die.
Oh, no, there are.
Many of them.
And the longer it goes, the more we are of the age that we see someone we know virtually every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think of some of the real heroes in our lives. And, you know, you, the founder of your radio station, what was his name, Bill?
Yeah. Founder of WGN?
No. Your Arizona station.
Oh, yes, Bill Taylor.
Yeah, he left. What a guy! There was for a while. Anyway, you had an oral dissertation about 45 minutes long or so that he had made on life. I don't know if it's still there, but of course I didn't know him, but I knew him. Listening to that. What a guy! I can see why you dropped what you were doing and went down there and took care of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and plus I felt half responsible because after all, he was looking for the worst place on earth when he got that license and I helped him find it. So.
Yeah. And Richard Ward Fatherly. Adored.
He was great. In fact, Bill and Dick and I all worked at WWOK at the same time.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Too bad they're gone. On another note, change the subject. You're not much of a moviegoer, as I recall, and I never would have asked you if you've ever seen the movie Pink Flamingos.
You
mentioned it the other day.
Yes. Well, right. In fact, I was at the doctor today. My veins didn't comply, unfortunately. They shut right down. And so they said, okay, no more bloodletting, but, you know, here's this kit. Take it home. And John said, what is it? I said, coprophilia. And he had no idea what that meant. So I thought, no, never mind. You don't want to know. So,
I've got a pink flamingo story for you, though. Years ago, when I lived in the Santa Clara Valley, I had this lady friend named Judy, and she had a coworker who said, oh, you've got to go see this movie. And she named that one. And she talked it up and didn't say anything unusual about it, but said, well, they're playing it tonight in one of those little, you know, dollar midnight theaters or something.
No.
So Judy has a 14-year-old son, so she decides to bring him along.
No.
And she asked me, do you want to go see this? I hear it's really good. I said, okay, Judy, I'll go with you. And she brings her kid. And they sat through it. He was the only 14-year-old in the theater, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm sure it just scarred him for life, for God's sakes.
I know.
They had their own tagline, an exercise in poor taste, and no kidding. And, part of his trash trilogy, John Waters, Female Trouble and Desperate Living were the other two. So,
And then he came out with that wonderful Hairspray.
Yeah, well, of course. Well, Divine is just great, you know, so.
I know.
Hairspray was a completely different movie, and I do recommend people see it.
the original Hairspray.
Yeah, well, of course. Somebody remade it?
Yeah. You didn't know, or must have known.
No, I didn't know.
John Travolta was Edna Turnblad.
No, you tell me no.
Yes.
You know, this
I know.
There is nothing sacred. This is like they remade The Producers. No, just no.
Yeah. You just can't reproduce that. No, that they did that. And I think the movie was a commercial success. Although I'd have to look it up.
I hope not.
But I watched it and you just can't get into you just can't. After seeing the original, you just can't.
No, absolutely not. Well, John said, shut up and take care of business, so I'm about to go do that now, but I'm so glad you called, and keep me posted, and have fun in Portugal.
All right, Raleigh.
All right, good deal, thanks.
John again, he sounds good.
Yes. Yes. All right. And the best part about Portugal is since 1977, you can get Coca-Cola. So go drink. Okay, bye.
Oh.
Yeah, until 77, it was illegal in Portugal to have Coca-Cola. I don't know why. All right. So we'll get to Marianne. We'll get to Stacy. Stacy's got an update, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
You have that run-down feeling, does your head go reeling? Are you nervous, jumpy, or on the edge? Is it neuritis, neuralgia, a head cold distress? Or maybe it's your sinus drainage? Do you have tired blood, beriberi, or maybe you're a little overweight? You better make some correction. In all this infection, just send in $1.98. Get rid of that running nose, that nagging cough, that sneeze, that chew, that wheeze, and other injuries. Take the wonder drug that cures all your ills. Take Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick dissolving, fast acting, pleasant tasting green and purple peels.
WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. That's Ray Stevens, of course. When Ray brought that out in 1961 on Mercury, he was kind of pimping all those Border Blaster channels, the Wolfman of the World, who were selling all these things. Hell, now it's primetime television. Who knew? We'll pick it up right there with Stacey, Marianne, Eduardo, and you on WGN Radio.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's George Jackson. And one time he was in the Plants. Yeah, they were a fine doo-wop group. They had Dear I Swear on J&S. But George was from Baltimore. And this was actually a flip side. It was on Mercury in 1967. And the A side was a version of Tossin' and Turnin' that Richie Adams co-wrote from the Fireflies. Well, the B side was Kiss Me, which also Richie Adams wrote. And I just thought that was the best record. And of course, you know, I think I was in an extreme minority because I don't know other than when I played it, I've ever heard it on the radio. But nonetheless, George Jackson. All right, so I'll have to, now that I thought about it, I'll have to look for Dear I Swear, too. All right, so with all that in mind, Stacy is in Algonquin, and she's got an update. So, Stacy, how are you doing? All right, we lost Stacy. Stacy didn't hang on. All right, well, who could blame her? Sorry about that, Stacy. And hopefully she'll call back and let us know how she's doing. And in the meantime, we will check out... let's see here, Marianne, but first I need to disconnect Dennis because he was still there. All right, so Marianne, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How's it going?
Okay, how are you?
I can't complain.
You know, it was kind of funny. I was listening to what you were talking about before your first call, and when you were, what was it, you were describing the symptoms of what, Lyme disease?
No, see, that's the thing. This is not Lyme disease.
Okay.
This is a complete other tick-borne mysterious illness that virtually no one knows about that could affect hundreds of thousands of people. And it was written about in
Here's a House Journal for you. The CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly. And yeah, that sounds like fun reading, doesn't it? And apparently the tick saliva contains a sugar molecule, alpha-gal. And what happens when you are infected with this is you will have almost an anaphylactic reaction to eating meat. Hello, operator.
Hello?
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about.
Well, you know, what I wanted to get to was when you were describing the symptoms.
Yeah.
How do they know the difference between the symptoms of that or side effects of every medication out there?
No, not only that, there's many other things.
This is a joke.
There's many other things too, but that's why there's antibody testing for it, for somebody who starts to develop this syndrome. And now that I look at some of the symptoms, I think I'll add this to my list of tests. It's AGS antibody testing, and they'll know.
Okay, well, I'm glad somebody knows something. But
well, yeah, but most doctors have no idea to look for this.
I know. And since this is but different from Lyme disease, I have seen some instances where somebody's in the hospital and they're sick and they've run every test, and then they find out, oh yeah, they were camping.
Right.
And then they look for the tick bite, and then they find out what it was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Lyme is the great imitator. It mimics a number of things. And, of course, then we get to, since it was first found in Lyme, Connecticut, if you go across the water, where do you wind up? Brookhaven National Labs. So it makes you wonder where Lyme disease came from.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
So, and it makes you wonder who invented the mosquito and why.
Oh, no. Well, mosquitoes I know what you mean. If you're like me and you're always bitten, you do wonder that. Mosquitoes obviously have a place in the environmental ecosystem, to say the least. They do have that good side. But for us humans who are bitten, we're not pleased.
No. I mean, what's the good side? That they feed bats?
No. It's all an exquisite ecosystem.
They're not pollinators, that's for sure.
Yes, they are. Yes,
they are.
Oh, yes, they are. Absolutely, but there's more than that. Now, as far as sometimes they serve as the food source themselves, larvae for birds or frogs or things like that. But some are absolutely important pollinators. So there's all sorts of reasons you can look that up. So yes, absolutely, they're involved in many, many processes, and it's not just pollination. So,
wow, that's interesting. I'm glad I brought that up.
You know, there are over 3,500 mosquito species.
Oh, wonderful.
Only, less than probably 10% of them can transmit diseases. So it's not a lot of them. And, of course, they don't all bite you. In fact, I think it's only the females.
Yeah, I think only the pregnant females bite, if I remember right.
So there you are. But they're a food source more than anything else. I mean, they do pollinate, but, so whether it's a bat or a bird or a reptile or whatever, they're a food source.
Mm-hmm.
John says it only takes one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
John.
Right.
John would know that. He was in the hospital with encephalitis in 1978.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Oh man, that poor man.
Yeah. So yeah, that was quite a while ago. But yes, encephalitis it was. He just passed out at work at Cube in Columbus years ago.
Yep. Oh wow!
Yeah.
When we were kids, we used to get tigger bites.
Well, of course.
Because we run through the empty lots with the real tall weeds.
Right. And, there's so many misconceptions about chigger. Like a lot of people would put the clear nail polish because they thought that the chiggers burrow. Chiggers don't burrow, even though you think they do. They're microscopic. They're actually on the outside of your skin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
But everybody. I mean, believe me. When I lived in the Carolinas, I would keep that clear nail polish, thinking, "Oh, I'm covering my triggers."
And it's like,
yeah. Well, they
we
they,
did
they,
tell.
Right. Exactly. No, we all did. But no, they don't burrow. That's a completely wrong assumption.
Okay. Well, I'm a product of the '50s, so we put clear nail polish on.
Yes. Yes, we all did.
A run on your nylon.
Yes.
And we had Mercurochrome.
Well, absolutely. And
Who has that now?
Well, Mercurochrome was good because it didn't hurt. It didn't sting like methylate. And,
no.
So it did. And it had that, that wonderful color that it would form. But no, of course not. There was mercury in it. They're not going to put that on the market now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because back in the days, there were girls that put Mercurochrome in baby oil and wore it as suntan lotion.
Yes, I know.
Remember that?
Yes, I do actually. But no, Mercurochrome. I don't believe that is still sold. I can't imagine because that the FDA had to ban that. And not only was it ineffective, but it would create mercury toxicity because, of course, the skin is porous and transdermal. You can absolutely, put enough of that on your, you might want to check with those girls, see if they're still alive.
Yeah, well, I remember when I was little and I busted a thermometer and I was playing with the mercury.
We all do. Well, yes, that's, every one of us. And you make the ball all come together. It's one ball and then you kind of smash it and there's 100 little balls and then you bring them together. And, of course, no sick kid alive had not played with the thermometer. And none of us died, as far as ours are.
No, and we all ate paste or glue.
Yeah, well, and that, for the most part, wouldn't hurt you either, considering, it was
Elmer's. And we drank out of garden hoses.
Right, right. But
we didn't have car seats for kids when I was little.
Now, we didn't have any of those things. Now, what's interesting, by the way, is
and here we all are.
Yeah, exactly. Mercurochrome is still on the market, but when you look at the bottles, the first thing it says is mercury-free, and I say to myself, then it's not Mercurochrome.
No, not the original recipe.
Of course not. No, it has to be that stuff that almost looks, I don't know how to describe that color, but it was definitely mercury.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
But, the reason I called was, I got sidetracked by your first topic you talked about.
Yes.
I wanted to know if you heard the story about the three fishermen and the mermaid.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Three guys are out fishing. They all hook a mermaid together. As they're pulling her out of the water, she says, "Oh, kind fisherman, if you release me, I'll grant each one of you a wish." And they look at each other, "Each one of us? Yeah, but you have to release me." So the first guy says, "Okay, double my intelligence." Okay, it's done. And he's quoting Shakespeare and all this stuff. And the second guy's looking at him. He's really impressed. So he says, "Triple my intelligence." She says, "Okay, it's done." And he's solving stuff that the guys on a Big Bang Theory and scientists could never solve. So the fourth guy says, third guy says, "Well, I want you to quadruple my intelligence." And she says, "No, you don't want me to do that."
Yeah.
"If you don't, I won't let you go." She goes, "Well, ask for gold, a yacht, a mansion." "Huh. You don't want that." "Well, I won't let you go." She says, "Okay, it's done." And she turned him into a woman.
Yeah, I knew that was coming somehow. I just knew that.
I was like, that's a good one for Women's Empowerment Month.
There you are. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Marianne.
Okay. See you later. Right. Bye, everybody.
Yes, indeed. All right. 888-876-5593. That's 8888 Raleigh. And, Stacy called back. We're going to hear from Stacy in moments right here on WGN Radio. I don't know. Maybe we'll hear from her right now, since nothing happened there. All right. So I'll just take this opportunity to say, Stacy, how's it going?
Hi, Raleigh. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. How are you?
Oh, I'm better.
Good.
I've just been really bad. I just want to say hello to Stephanie. I heard her. She said, "I'm worried about Stacy."
Yeah.
But, I've just been doing a lot of stuff in the house.
Good.
Because I'm going to be selling in a while. And, I'm working with my realtor and this and that, and I'm trying to, with my blood sugar, it's been crazy. it's, you know, the minute I take in, I've gotten good numbers. But then if it goes up and then I take my insulin, that works fast. And then it goes down again. So I've been up and down, and I've just been, you know, with this crazy weather. I really stay in because it's so nuts. We've had a lot of rain, and then it stops. And then I think it was in the 80s today in Algonquin.
Really?
Yeah. And, no, I've gotten, Corinne, she's wonderful. She's my new helper at home, my assistant.
Good.
And, no, I'm just trying to box a lot of things up in the house. And I think I've been doing too much and lifting, you know, all the heavy stuff.
No,
and I'll do this
Don't do that. Yeah, no, seriously, don't do that. Yeah, because
I know, then I start getting dizzy, and I said, I better.
Well, not only getting dizzy, but I mean, you can wind up getting something like tendonitis or something just because you were lifting something, or, you know, you throw your back out. I mean, you can wind up in misery for months.
I know. You know what I get? Do you ever get, like, anxiety, like, in the back of your neck?
No, but I know people who do.
That's me.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you're worrying too much. I refuse to do that. But, yeah, I know a lot of people who carry a lot of things in their neck, and that can lead to migraines, for God's sakes. That can go up into your head. It can go down into your shoulder. That absolutely can do that.
But, you know, I try not to. If I can't sleep, sometimes I'll just take a little Benadryl. And the only thing that I can take for any type of pain is extra strength Tylenol that my doctor said, which always works.
Okay.
And then for the anxiety, he just gave me clonazepam.
Oh, okay.
So, but, you know, I'm trying to stay okay. It's just, it's weird with my new chair, Raleigh, when I have to keep my legs up a certain amount of time during the day. The minute I sit down in the chair and I lift up my legs, I don't know, it's spooky. It puts me to sleep.
Well, that's not bad. Don't question the good things.
Okay.
No, I think that's great.
But, you know, I'm going through all of the picture books and stuff, and, you know, you just sit down and think, well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
What happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where did the time go? And, yeah, and while you're doing it, the time can really go. You can you turn around and it's 3 hours later and you're still looking through the pictures. I know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And it's just, you know, and I've been trying to go on my Jake, my exerciser.
Good.
And then the girls and I, we had another garage sale last weekend.
Excellent.
So that was pretty good, too.
Excellent.
And, yeah, so we did. And then, oh, gosh, so much going on.
Well, all sounds good. It sounds like you're moving forward, getting rid of things, organizing things, and you'll sell the house. And have you looked at places for where you want to go?
I'm letting my realtor guy in. I'm really not sure where I'm
going. You know, I would say go see them all. You know, I'm a looky loo. I've never met an open house I won't attend. You know, the worst thing is I remember I used to rearrange the furniture in model homes. You know, I realize I'm an extreme case, but I would say if you could see 30 places, hey, it's something to do. See them all.
But
and if someone's living in it now, open up their closets, see what they've got.
Yeah.
Look at that medicine cabinet. You know, I know this is terrible, and I do all that stuff. All right, so make it fun. That's my advice to you. Don't look at it like, oh my God, would I want to live here? Oh gee, I don't know. And what about this? No, just make it fun.
Is it weird if I still? I cry at the drop of the hat. Is that weird?
Of course you do. No, I think I told you a year ago, grief is a very funny thing because it undulates. And just when you think you've got a handle on things and everything's together, it hits you upside the head and you fall apart. And you can fall apart at the littlest thing, things that shouldn't set you off. All of a sudden, it just sets you into another universe of tears. And this is as normal as it gets. Over time, what should happen is that the swings are longer. So you have better days rather than worse days, and they're shorter. And it just undulates like that. But anybody who thinks, well, it's been a year, so it won't bother me anymore. No, they're living on Neptune. Here, it ain't like that. So it's absolutely normal. And there are times you 100% should give in to the feeling and have your pity party. There's other times when you say, nope, enough of that. And you gather yourself together and move on. But look at everything like it's an adventure. That's why I say, like these places you might live in. Don't look at them like, oh, well, I live here the rest of my life. Don't even think about that. Just go and look at them and have fun.
Right.
You know,
right.
Take it as an adventure, you know. I mean, I'm not planning to move into a multi-million-dollar house, but I can't tell you how many I've toured. You know? Yeah, oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, John said with people in it. Sometime I'll tell you about the time I actually toured someone's house in the middle of the night because we were sure that was the one that was open and there were people in it asleep. So anyway, I thought we were going to be rounded up by the cops. But John says I'm out of time this half hour, but call me again soon and look at it like it's fun.
Oh, I will. I want to give everyone Stacy's blessings.
All right.
And have a wonderful weekend. And you and John sound great.
All right.
I'll call you back.
You too. Have a good weekend, Stacy.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye,
so,
Robbie.
And that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, I mentioned the Plants when I was playing George Jackson earlier, and George Jackson is the lead singer of the Plants. The bass guy you're hearing is Thurman Thrower, and they were from Baltimore. They were on Schroeder Street, and they were singing together in 1955. They were about 15, 16 years old, and they originally were the Equators, and they got some local gigs, and their idols were the Moonglows, and they practice incessantly, and in the I guess it was early 1957, the Moonglows, along with the Five Keys and Johnny and Joe, were appearing at the Royal Theater in Baltimore.
And the Equators were hanging around the back door singing and hoping somebody would notice. And the doorman did. He let him backstage, and there was Zell Sanders. And as you know, that was Johnny's mother, Johnny Richardson of Johnny and Joe, and the owner of JNS Records, who listened to them. And she liked what she heard. She instantly became their manager, promptly changed their name from the Equators to the Plants. I don't know why. And a couple weeks later, the group got contracts in the mail. They head up to New York, and they record Dear I Swear. Yeah, and that actually was a local hit in Baltimore, and it got some play in New York, and failed to do anything else. The flip side of Dear I Swear, It's You got a national review, I think like in Billboard or something, ranked as good. And at the same time that week, it was Sam Cooke's I'll Come Running Back to You and Lee Allen's Walking with Mr. Lee. So they had a lot of Dear Don by the Metronomes and Darlin' by the Debonairs. And so they had a lot of competition. And sadly, it just did not make it outside of the Eastern Seaboard. But it gave him a chance to do a lot of the package shows in New York and Baltimore and D.C. And of course, they appeared on the Buddy Dean television show. And also Hot Rod Holbert, who had been a big jock in Memphis and then went to Baltimore and was just wonderful on WSID. In fact, that's the guy who taught Jocko how to jive, you know, all the Ryman stuff. And so Hot Rod Holbert had a show featuring the Plants and many other things. But the bottom line is all of it went nowhere. And that was it. Now, Zell Sanders actually retained the name of the Plants, and none of the guys cared. And she released them again, but nothing happened there either. But in 1957, looked good. October 57, they all drove up to New York, and Dear I Swear and It's You were recorded. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Eduardo is in Midway. What's up, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. How's everything going over there?
We can't complain. How about your bad self?
Yeah, doing good. I saw this thing here, adding 24 years to your life here, exercising, yeah. No smoking, no addiction to opioids, healthy diet, no binge drinking, good sleep, positive social relationships. I was going to mention, I don't know if you got a chance to see this, but this was a pretty big story over here in Florida. This Miami-Dade director who came over here to Tampa, he was going to take his life.
Mm-hmm.
He came over here with his wife, and they were arguing. They actually went up to the 12th floor. They interviewed them. Mm-hmm. They put him in handcuffs. They separated him and the wife, and they were trying to, you know, sort this out. And then they let him go, and then he gets on the highway, and he was about to take his life.
It's interesting. You're talking about Freddie Ramirez.
Right.
And, right. Yeah. And so, you know, as far as that goes, I really don't think the answer to attempting suicide should be somebody handcuffing you, as far as that goes. You know, threatening self-harm is nothing like threatening you're going to kill someone else. And, of course, here the cops, they handcuff him, but the bottom line is, he said, look, I have no plans to harm myself or anyone else. And so the bottom line, though, of course, is like you say, he shoots himself on I-75 following an argument with his wife. But, I guess this in some ways is an ethical and philosophical question of what should authorities be able to do when somebody... That'd be one thing if he was threatening his wife's life.
Right.
And, of course, what I do understand is that the reason the Marriott, he was at a Marriott, the reason the Marriott called the cops was that another guest reported seeing a guy arguing with his wife and pulling a gun out. So, of course, this guy doesn't know who he's shooting. And, you know, later comes out that, you know, he was threatening, I'm going to end it all today. And by the way,
right.
when the cops got there, the witness was nowhere to be found. He skied up. So, there, you know, who knows? And so so it was that apparently, like you say, on the way home on I-75, that was it. Just went out into traffic. Yeah, and Jody calling for help, and I haven't heard much after that. Have you?
No, other than he's recovering and he resigned his post.
Well, and see, this has to do, I think, with his desire to end it all, because apparently it said he made a mistake and he was prepared to resign. So,
right.
You know, supposedly, I'd like to know what the mistake is. I don't know. So, and if the mistake is what he did at the hotel in Tampa, well, what led to the, you know, suicide? I don't know. I know that the reason this is big news is because he was, I think, 25 years with Miami-Dade Police, and
right.
He had been a candidate for sheriff before that, and all that kind of thing. So I don't know, you know, what the deal is, what led up to it. I don't know. So,
yeah, it's a little confusing. Hopefully there's, besides, you know, this person, hopefully there's, whether you're in a marriage or you're single or whatever, you're able to talk to people because, you know, post-COVID, I think a lot of people are not talking to people. There's more loneliness than before. So people are not being open about, you know, what might be on their mind. So it is good to open up and talk to somebody if you think you are not feeling well about something.
Well, obviously, but unfortunately, apart from stigma, and there is stigma, let's face it, but apart from that, there are so many reasons that an individual is reluctant, because there really is no safe haven in this story. So, you know, hopefully you're surrounded by people in your life you can talk to, but as far as talking to anybody officially, I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, sadly, because of many of the things we've heard, you know, I don't think the police handcuffing them is a way to handle this.
No.
You know,
there's a better way.
Again, if he's brandishing a gun and other guests are feeling unsafe, well, that's a different situation, clearly. I mean, for public safety,
right.
Of course. So, but, you know, like I say, I don't have that many of the details. But, you know, here he is. He's chief of police for Miami-Dade. And, you know, I've made a mistake. I'm willing to resign. Well, you know, again, we don't know the details of what happened, but or what led up to it. Because, you know, if anything, whatever this was, that's the straw, not the whole camel's back. You know, it's like the final straw that breaks that camel's back. And it's like, well, what was leading up to it and what was around him and who among his friends? Because I don't think it would be a thing where everybody around him says, oh, yeah, he was real put together. Nothing was fine. No, everything was fine. I'm sure he showed signs of stress and other things. So, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're really Monday morning quarterbacking here. We just don't know. You know.
Yeah, until more facts come out. Yeah. Down the road.
Right. Exactly. And you know, his wife admits that, yes, they were arguing, and she's saying, I know what buttons to push, and he knows what buttons to push. Well, all right, but this particular argument is not the start of this. It's not even remotely possible. This is the culmination of a lot of things. You know, so
yeah.
I'd be real curious. So you know, I don't know what
yeah,
we're
maybe,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe more facts will come out in the coming weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And then again, maybe some of them shouldn't. You know, he certainly certainly has the right to privacy, but I do not blame the investigators for letting him go. I think they should have let him go. There was nothing that met the criteria that you would forcibly detain him. And so, you know, but pulling over on I-75 and open fire
you know, in front of your wife, there's a big right. story there. And, you know, I mean, aspiring minds want to know. Sure, I love the tabloids more than anybody. Soap operas are us. But at the same time, mm-hmm. he absolutely has a right to a certain amount of privacy in this, to say the least. But he's a public figure. This is going to be all over the place. And I would think, if anything, I'd put him more on suicide watch for now what people are going to be saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know,
I'm sure there's going to be like an internal affair.
Oh, right. And, you know, this is going to be a talk radio topic. I guarantee you WIOD will be all over it like whites on rice. you know, and but what's the deal? Now, I'd be real curious as far as a human interest story is interviews with coworkers, interviews with friends or neighbors, you know, because sometimes you'll hear, oh, it just came out of the blue. I had no idea. But in something like this, I have a feeling that's not what we'd hear.
Yeah, the neighbor one, too. Yeah, back in Miami, in his hometown. Yeah. If there was a track record of this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know that there was a track record of suicide, but I think there was probably a track record of him being disturbed.
Of arguing. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Arguing.
And just behavior that showed undue stress.
Right. Right.
And so now, of course, like I say, it'll be a proctological exam, for God's sakes. They'll have every orifice of this guy investigated. And, you know, I can't imagine. I guess he's not going to be running for sheriff again. But, yeah, thanks for that that story, because, you know, I darn well want to investigate this. I'll let you know what I find out.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for Gerald Wilson Tuesday.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for calling. Okay, bye.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
You too.
Yeah, bye-bye.
So, it's time. The time has come for Walter's Perspective, brought to you by HearingHealthCenter.com.
You broke his heart and made him cry, and he's been blue since then. Now he's found somebody new, and you want him back again.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Shirelles, and that is the original 45 version. I had so many copies of this in different formats, CD or whatever, and none of them were the original 45. So finally, I got it out. Fortunately, I had two of them, because one was beyond hope, but the other one, I sat there and took out like 90 pops and clicks to, yeah, so that's no pops and clicks on the original Shirelles vinyl. Why did I play it? Well, Doris Coley would have turned 82 yesterday, born in Goldsboro, North Carolina, but grew up in Passaic. And, of course, Beverly Lee turned 82 today, born in Passaic. She still, by the way, holds the exclusive Shirelles trademark. And Shirley Owens turned 82 June 10th. So that's the deal. I think Mickey Harris also, by the way, was June 10th, though she was a year earlier. And so we'll pick it up right there with another hour of this right here on WGN Radio.
What's the use when there's nothing I can do. Ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, it's the Radiance. It ain't no big thing. Yeah, I remember first time I heard this was on one of the Huggy Boys' bootleg albums, and yeah, one of those like flashbacks in stereo, Volume 4 or something. I don't know. But of course, it didn't occur to Huggy that maybe he should write down who the acts are, nor did he need to get the title right. So it said "Ain't No Big Thing" and had absolutely nothing else on it, and it took me a while to figure. Oh, it's the Radiance. Yes, and Gerald Sims wrote it. And it's a wonderful song, and it ain't no big thing. That's absolutely a given. And I was, during the news, reading more and more about Freddie Ramirez, because it is somewhat of a shocking story that the head of police in Miami-Dade would, in fact, try to take his own life, in this case on I-75, not the first time. But one of the things in one of the articles that was a little disturbing, it said before he shot himself, he had his hands around his wife's throat. Now, wait a minute. He is on I-75. How do they know that? And so there was nothing that told me that. But sadly, I was looking at some statistics. And last year, 64 police officers across the country were fatally shot in the line of duty. And 160 police officers took their own lives. Yeah, this is obviously not a good thing, to say the least, and clearly not an unknown thing. So I was really looking for stories from coworkers or friends, neighbors or whatever, telling me more about this guy. And everybody, no, he was even-tempered, mild-mannered, you know, all that. So there were some tells there, but I don't know what they are yet. Now, looks like I tried to also figure out, all right, he's supposed to recover. What's the deal? He shot himself in the head. Well, apparently there'll be no real brain injury. What he is doing is losing an eye, because apparently the bullet went into the head and exited through the eye. So, whoa. That's tough. So clearly he'll be in the hospital a little while yet, to say the least. But, you know, yes, there are groups that address mental health in the police department. But again, that's sometimes a double-edged thing of whether you're willing to, in fact, take advantage of that and what it may mean in the real world. And, of course, this guy's also running for sheriff. And you might be saying, there's no sheriff. Miami-Dade or county and city together. Well, they are, but there's a sheriff. There hadn't been before, but there is now. And so it's a newly created position. So 2024, we'll have an election for sheriff. And Freddie, who had been a Republican for many years, switched to the Democratic Party, and he's running as a Democrat. Now, what this will do for that campaign, who knows? But needless to say, first he needs to get out of the hospital. And it's sad as far as Miami-Dade. Ramirez's predecessor, Robert Parker, killed himself in 2015, also shooting himself in the head, but he was successful after he retired from the department. Another top cop and former mayor, Carlos Alvarez, was accused of domestic violence, and the charges were dropped because his ex-girlfriend, who was also a Miami-Dade police officer, a lieutenant, did not show up for the trial. So one of the things that was a given was Freddie Ramirez, saw all around him the mental health issues that could rise. And when interviewed about that, he said he'd compartmentalize his stress and would never ask for help. He made it a priority to provide counseling for his officers. But, yeah, as head of the police, he faced a whole new kind of stress, and he'd been promoted to that position in 2020. And in 2022, he also added overseeing the fire rescue department to his line of duty. So You know, there are a number of people who said he's the type of leader who will bear the burden of those around him, carrying the weight of his department, but he never himself will in fact crack until he cracks. Yeah, and so the wife, Jody, was apparently the childhood sweetheart. I guess they went to high school together in Hialeah, and they've been married for 28 years and have four kids. And so he was always very open to talk about hard issues, but again, it was when it came to himself, not something that he was necessarily going to avail himself of any therapy. And so a lot of people are saying they feel just, you know, bewildered and surprised that, you know, here's this random normal guy that people connected with, and he needed help. He couldn't get help. And people are moved by that. Yeah, but, you know, what do you do? And again, there are so many things that are designed to help that it very often, you know, no way are you going to avail yourself of that. And it's like when you go to the doctor, they always have those surveys now about your mental health. And it's like, is anybody actually going to say they've got problems? So I maybe somebody would, but I don't know that I'd advise it. 888-876-5593. But I absolutely would advise getting help privately any way you can. You know, you don't want to shoulder this alone. But as far as the official channels, I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. Maybe great, but there's a number of people who are not going to avail themselves of that. At least that's the way I see it. But we're bordering on an issue that matters, and clearly Freddie Ramirez matters, and we wish him the absolute best of luck. It can't be easy no matter what. All right, so Brian and Joliet, welcome to WGN Radio. Hey, Brian. All right, we lost Brian. I think he was back to the medications topic that we were talking about earlier when we broached the subject of yet the latest new disease, from ticks. And I guess the only part of that story that was really shocking, other than the fact that the CDC has a house organ called Morbidity and Mortality Weekly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, just a wonderful publication, I'm sure. But they've been aware of this since 2008. And it's interesting, the article that I read said they've only been aware of it since 2008. Excuse me, that's a good little while ago now, don't you know? And seems to me that most doctors have never heard of it. So I guess that is the issue. So load up on DEET or something like it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We have the National Examiner and the Inquirer and the Globe. So now if we want mental health advice, Tom Selleck is ready to give it, the Marriage Survival Guide. Okay, maybe we'll skip that. But we'll see what else might be titillating. And, of course, we'll take your call. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Every time I call you on the phone, they tell me that you're not at home. But last night when I called you, before I said hello, I could hear you. You found somebody new, and you don't know what to say or do. I'd feel better when I called you if you asked me not to fall.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was one of Scotty's requests. I've got his request log in there. Well, a couple Chuck Jacksons. I wake up crying and tell him I'm not home. The gal who's asking to be told that she's not home is Doris Troy of Just One Look. That's the back and forth on that. 1963 on Wand, and it got to about number 12 on the R&B chart, and didn't crack the top 40, but did make it on the Hot 100. And there it is. Tell 'em I'm Not Home, one of Scotty's favorites, and oh, how we miss him. So 888-876-5593. Chuck is in Rockford. What's happening tonight, Chuck?
Oh, I was going to mention to you a sleep aid that I use is I wear that eye mask.
Uh-huh.
And boy, it really helps to get into the REM sleep.
Really?
And usually, I guess, your sleep has got a lot to do with your body just healing itself.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, stages of sleep, you may think you're getting a lot of sleep, but if you're never going into a deep sleep, it's not going to be restorative. So you betcha.
Yeah, boy, I can really tell after I've gone into a deep sleep is the pillow is wet, you know.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But I've always wondered, yeah. There's all sorts of studies on dreams and all that. The heck with dreams on a metaphysical level, where is it we go when we're asleep? And the reason I ask that is I have towns that are in my dreams that don't exist in reality, but they show up repeatedly in the dream. Same town, same buildings, same structures.
Yeah. Well, I got into that wearing these sleep masks. When I, go into a strange place, like a hotel or something.
Yeah.
Away from home. I did buy one that had earplugs with it, too. And, boy, that really, you put that mask on and the earplugs in, and I don't know, it really makes a difference.
Yeah, especially if you're sensitive to that. Now, I'm not sensitive to sound when I sleep. You can be drilling holes in the wall and I don't care. But man, you open that door and there's a crack of light in that room, I'm up like a shot. And everybody has their triggers. And John's just the opposite. He doesn't care if it's broad daylight and the sun, but man, if there's any noise. And, everybody has their own things, which they're, I guess, attuned to. But, when you're not getting sleep, this is a crisis. And if it's long term, this will affect your health in many ways. So it behooves you to get help for that.
Yeah, I've heard Dennis a few times when he's called you.
Yeah.
And he must have a real interesting situation there with getting to go to some of these exotic places.
Well, yeah, when you're a pilot like that and you're flying, the big stuff, and you've got clients who are going to those kind of places, and you're taking them there. Yeah, you're getting to see the world, whether you want to or not.
I had the aspirations of doing some commercial piloting, but I never got there. And I guess it's kind of mandatory retirement when you reach 65, anyhow.
Yes, and it used to be 60. They increased that to 65. Yes.
I had my. My commercial and my instrument written in, but I never got to complete, getting them added to my license along with the time, although I even got to the point where I didn't enter a lot of stuff into my logbook,
Whoa!
If make notes and then just figure I was going to put it in later. I don't even know what happened to my logbook now.
Uh-huh.
But I probably accumulated about 2,000 hours, so it wasn't like a pastime. But I enjoyed the night flying more than the day time. As long as everybody else had their navigation lights on and everything.
Yeah.
All of my possibilities in the piloting have passed me now, because my just due to age and everything.
Oh, of course.
I'm out of the game.
Of course, absolutely.
But, anyhow, the I do wear that mask, you know, and I can sure tell a difference when I put that on.
Good.
And you know, getting into the REM sleep.
It's nice when you find something that works. There's nothing better than waking up refreshed.
Oh yeah,
you betcha.
And I always when I do use the mask, though, I do get a better rest. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that you know, the way.
Yeah, well, like I say, for everybody,
you know, that
everyone's got their own cues. Yeah.
Where you get into a deeper sleep.
Yeah, no, what works for one person won't for another, but when you can find what works for you, stick with it. All right, always good to hear from you, Chuck. Going to find out what's going on in the world at large. Thank you.
Yeah, I found it helped with the dry eye thing, too, you know, and when I use that as a sleep aid.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, good.
Some of this weather is also something that has kind of got me going, you know, with the smoke that's been coming out of Canada. You know, I'm what you call a pet parent, and I had a little bowl of water out for the animals, and when I went to dump it out, the water was actually black, so apparently,
man.
when it picked up some of the rainwater, why?
Absolutely.
Wonder how much of that stuff is that we're getting exposed to.
We're absolutely breathing it in. You betcha. And people already, a lot of reports on damage to people that way. But very, very little that can be done other than try to stay indoors and try to stay in situations where the air is filtered. But I'm going to find out what's going on in the world at large. Check out the news and talk to you again soon. Thank you, Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry about running
in
overtime.
That's all right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So let's find out what's happening right now on WGN Radio.
If there's anyone here who knows why these two people should not be joined together, let them speak now or forever hold their peace.
Wait! Wait! Stop the wedding. You're just marrying her for spite. If she knew the inside story, she'd tell you what you're doing just ain't right. I know you don't wanna hurt me, so stop this madness before it starts. Revenge will only cause you regret. So don't do it. Don't do it. Don't break two hearts.
Don't break two hearts.
'Cause you belong to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Etta James, Stop the Wedding, and that was another one of Scotty's requests, and I remember when he first said it, I said, you mean stop that wedding?
he didn't remember that one. I said, oh, man, probably for the best. So I certainly, in his behalf, wanted to play Etta James. But in case you do remember Stop That Wedding.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You better stop that wedding.
Stop 1965 on Coral, and Ernie Maresca co-wrote that, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of the Gold Bugs. I have absolutely no information on who they were. That was two words, by the way, Gold and Bugs. And yeah, that and The Flip Side are sort of a medley of their non-hit, but but yeah, when Scotty first said it, that's what I thought of. And of course, no, he meant Etta James. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, and Jim is in New Hampshire. Hello, Jim.
Oh, Raleigh, how you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, I think I would have preferred Etta James.
Oh, you don't like the Gold Bugs? Can't imagine it. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I guess. One of those things, I guess it had to be there. Or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Eddie Schwartz was in that group. Not the guy who was on WGN for years. No, a guy from Floral Park.
Oh.
But that's all I know. They originally were the Five Sharks. Not the Five Sharps, who, of course, Stormy Weather and all that. We're talking Five Sharks,
right,
as in the fish. And you know, they and it was Slim Rose at Times Square Records who got them to record Stormy Weather, because, of course, the Five Sharps version was considered to be the most expensive 45 ever made. Well, the reality is that there was no 45 of the Five Sharps. It was only on 78. And so that's why it never showed up. But so, but there were the Florals, who became the Five Sharks, and they put 100 copies out on Times Square Records, and it became an instant.
Ah, yes.
And then they did Stop That Wedding. And yeah, that pretty much. And by the way, the guy who produced it, and this will make all the sense in the world to you, also did Vito and the Salutations version of Unchained Melody.
Oh, my gosh.
You can hear it.
Gosh.
You can just hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I could that is some, I could probably put up with that for maybe a minute or two, and that's about it.
Well, if you can make it 2 minutes and 40 seconds, I think you'd have the whole record.
Probably so.
No,
actually,
the label claims it's 221, so it would put you out of your misery probably early. So, what's up? Tell me.
Okay. Can I mention a request or two?
Yeah, sure.
At first. Okay. Could you play Unit 4 plus 2?
Concrete and Clay.
Concrete and Clay.
Right.
Yeah. And another one would be maybe Midnight in Moscow, a.k.a. Moscow Nights by Kenny Ball's Jazz Man.
All right.
Uh-huh. And I sort of got, that was one that whenever I would hear it, it reminded me of Radio Moscow's World Service when I first started getting into shortwave.
Oh, man. Man, well.
Yeah, with Vladimir Posner and all them over there.
Yeah,
and,
I never cared for Radio Moscow myself.
Well, I can understand. I can totally completely understand that.
I wasn't going to get any R&B no matter how many hours I listened.
No, you weren't going to get me there. No. Now, it's very possible maybe VOA might do it. But
not usually. Nope.
But not usually, no. No. Nah. Because, you see, I got into shortwave about the time WNYW, Radio New York,
right,
worldwide. They were just about to go away, and I missed them by that much.
Okay,
is what I did, and of course they're gone, and so is their immediate predecessor, the Family Stations people that had it at those transmitters.
Right, right. Yeah, they changed it to YFR exactly. And
now they're gone.
Right.
And
didn't they move the transmitters to Okeechobee or something? Because they were in they were in Scituate, Massachusetes, and then they moved to
Scituate, Mass.
Right.
Yeah.
And they moved to Okeechobee, right, Florida, for reasons that completely elude me. I mean, ground system. Okay, got good ground connectivity, but no.
Sure.
There was Bonneville was somehow involved in this, and
yes, they were.
This was a real weird thing. It was originally what, WRUL World Radio or something.
World Radio University.
Okay, there you go. And the L would probably be listeners, but right. So
sure.
They were big, and then Metromedia, Metromedia had them for a minute, and
I did not know that.
They bought them in about 1960, and
okay.
But I'd say they owned them 18 months max, maybe a year, but because Bonneville.
Yeah, I know that Wes Marshak was over there for a while.
Right, Bonneville bought them, and then it became Radio New York Worldwide. And
right,
and you know, that's when those rumors started that it was part of the CIA and it was all propaganda.
Oh, that was
probably was all propaganda, but I doubt it was part of the CIA. But anyway,
I doubt that seriously.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then Bonneville, oh God, this must have been like 1970, was going to sell it to the U.S. government, and all they wanted was a dollar. And Voice of America said, "Nah, we don't want them." So
yes.
In
they
you know,
I did not do.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And of course, WNYW, the call sign ultimately, you know, went to New York. That was it. Now, I think Bonneville sold them, but I don't know to whom, but anyway, I guess maybe to family.
Now that's possible.
It's probably Bonneville to family. That made sense. And then family moved it to Okeechobee. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
and,
no, that makes sense.
Actually, now in the latest iteration, it's owned by Radio Miami International, which is WRMI, which is, I think, their... it's owned by a guy named Jeff White.
Okay. All right.
And they broker a lot of stuff on it.
They're still using those Okeechobee towers.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, they are.
And, okay.
Yeah. But, I had a chance to talk with him once when he was going through New Orleans. He actually called me.
Wow.
One of the guys at RNO Worldwide knew him.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking off air one day.
Okay.
And I said kind of in passing, well, gee, I'd love to chat with Jeff White one day. You know, just actually put it together, and Jeff called, and
wow.
You know, and I talk to him for a little bit because he put on a lot of stations down in Santo Domingo and right. That sort of thing. And it was actually kind of a nice little fun little chit-chat I had with him for a while.
Well, whatever happened, of course, the Costellos put WRNO on shortwave, and they did that in 82. Of course, they're dead now, but whatever happened to that?
Well, from what I understand, that was purchased by some company out of Fort Worth. That's what I understand. Anyway,
so that would be around. That would probably be religion.
They carry Brother Scare.
I'll bet you that it's just religion, and so but you know the Costellos, God love them, they were putting WRNO and AOR station on shortwave, and they did that from Metairie, Louisiana.
That was a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool. That was my go-to for world radio with Glenn Hauser for a while too.
Right. Well, yeah, and there was that guy in Opelika who Dixon Norman, who was going to put on NDXE and even raise money. Yeah, you know the story, right?
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately,
yeah. Whatever happened to Dixon Norman? Does anybody know?
Who knows? Oh my gosh! Yeah. I remember several interviews that he did, and oh my! I don't know how, but he actually. I heard an interview that he actually did with Gene Taylor, and I think Gene was going to be involved with it.
Oh, yeah, no, he told a good story. I mean, I remember I wrote a story about him when I was radio editor for Billboard. I mean, he sent me all this stuff and NDXE calendar and all these other things, you know, promotional giveaways, which hopefully I still have somewhere because now they're really collector's items. But I often wondered what happened to this guy.
He was basically
a kid then. Yeah. H. Dixon Norman. And I always wondered what happened to him. You know, is he in jail somewhere?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, it never did happen. I'm pretty sure about that.
It absolutely went nowhere.
Right. Right. But what happened to this guy?
But what happened to him? Yeah, I've often wondered what happened to Dixon Norman.
Yeah, Well, maybe somebody listening in Opelika, maybe some relative of Herbert Orr.
We know.
Give us a call now. Yeah, I don't know.
You betcha.
Yeah,
you betcha.
These are the things I lay awake at night and wonder, you know.
You're not the only one. Trust me, Raleigh.
You know, I mean, the hell with worrying about things that matter, you know?
You got it. There you go. You know it, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
But at any rate, you take care and have
Thank
yourself
you for calling.
A great weekend.
You
yes.
too. Appreciate you calling back. Thanks, Jim. Talk to you later.
You bet.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, and we will get those requests on, too. Next week, Concrete and Clay and Midnight in Moscow. Well, maybe I'll get Concrete and Clay on next. We'll see. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Are sweet as roses in the morning, and you to me are soft as summer rain at dawn in lovely shade. That's something rare. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble, but love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way it's meant to be. All around, I see the purple shades of evening. And on the ground, shadows fall, and once again you're in my arms. So
tenderly. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains crumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. And that's the way, that's the way it's meant to be. Sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there is Unit 4 Plus 2, Concrete and Clay, the original for Jim in New Hampshire. Eddie Rambo had a cover of that that wasn't really bad either, but that is the original. All right, so riddle me this. Dianne Feinstein, yes, California senator, has granted her daughter power of attorney over her legal affairs. However, she has not resigned from the Senate. What does that tell you? All right, 888-876-5593. James on the South Side. Welcome to WGN Radio.
How are you doing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got to admit, it's a very strange concerning that, okay, it seems like to some degree she's not... I remember when she was totally focused in. I'm old enough to remember when she was mayor of San Fran.
Yeah, right. But that's not now.
Which tells you, as the horror geek might say, boy, I'm old.
Yeah, well, that has been a while, yes. But she's 90 years old, and she's a member of the Intelligence Committee and others, and she's still allegedly carrying out her duties, yet her state of affairs is such that she has granted her daughter power of attorney over her legal affairs. Just something is wrong with this. And this has, by the way, nothing to do with whether she's a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. This is just nuts.
Yeah, it is troubling, because it says, like, I don't want to say an absolute age where it says, oh, okay, you can't do the job, because I've seen some 80-year-olds who are smart, quicker thinking than some 20-year-old.
No, absolutely. But in this case, again, you don't give someone else your power of attorney. Now, she's not seeking re-election next year, which would be interesting. I haven't kept up with this race to see who decides they want this seat. So that'll be a...
I'll tell you, if she manages to get to the end of her term, then it's going to be a regular election. And the guy who led that, who was part of the, the House thing with respect to that, the investigation of a previous occupant of the White House, that guy is the leading candidate. If, however, Feinstein should kick the bucket, then the California governor has already said that he would appoint this one particular representative, because he wanted to put a person of color in the seat.
Well, yeah, you remember Barbara Lee, which is hilarious right there. And I guess Adam Schiff is the other guy you were talking about. And then there's Katie Porter. But I also wonder, those are the ambitious Democrats. Who are the Republicans who are going to come out and say, yeah, I think I'll go for that. This is going to be a three-ring circus.
Oh, yeah, I'm like thinking, where's Mr. Ned when you really need him?
Yeah, boy. Well, it's sure going to be interesting, and just one of many, many, many stories you gave me. I loved them all, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay,
right,
you
thanks.
Take care. Have
you
a
too.
Great weekend.
You too. And apologies to Sherry from Naperville for not getting in there. And that pretty much will be a wrap. Tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia. I hope you enjoy it. Don't call, but do call Monday night because we'll reconvene at 10 o'clock Central with a new live edition of Monday Night Trivia. We thank John for screening your calls, Adam for keeping us on the air, but most of all, you for calling. It makes all the difference, and I appreciate that. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.